Aren't you glad today that it doesn't take a marathon race to reach God? You know, he came to seek and to save those that were lost, and if you seek him, you will find him.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel, till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
Are you still on the phone?
Not exactly. I'm still on hold.
Oh, I hate that.
The customer service line opens at 8, and I called at 8 on the dot.
Yeah, that's what happened to me last week. I was on hold for half an hour. Finally, I just left a message, but no one ever responded.
Well, I need to get this resolved today.
And their TV ad says that their response time is one of the best in the industry.
If that's the case, I'd hate to see the worst.
When you reach out to get something done, you want to get a response, but all too often you're left with unresolved issues. Today's passage reminds us that when we reach out to God, he responds.
Turn in your Bibles, if you have it, to that portion that was read earlier, 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9, as we continue to push through this great book of 1 Samuel. And today we're looking at the second half of that chapter, starting at verse 10 and through the end of the chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 9, and that portion that was read starting at verse 10. And I trust that you are going to be able to track along with us as we go through this story. So let's pray together and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would minister to each one of us present today, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us and convict us, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scottish writer George MacDonald wrote about a woman who was walking in the woods and came across a small child who was there in the woods lost and crying. And she picked up the little child and began to quiet him down and carried him out of the woods. And with the help of the police, they were able to reunite this little boy with the parents. And he began to draw parallels of this story to the experience that we have in Christ. Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those that are lost. And this account of Saul here, as last time we were introduced to Saul there in his father's house, this account of Saul also reminds us in the very same way that when you chase after God, he responds. And that we don't have to go all the way to God, but he actually comes and meets us. And so I want us to take a look at this story. We'll go sort through it verse by verse. And I want you to notice a few things that will encourage us in our walk after God. Now, if you remember last week when we spoke, we said that Saul was there with his servant. And if you remember, they were wandering around the mountainside looking for his father's donkeys. Everybody remember that? And they were there looking for those donkeys. And then by time they got to verse 6 of chapter 9, in verse 6, the servant said to Saul, "Look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go." It was almost as though after wandering around the mountains looking for the donkeys, that they came to their senses, and the servant says, "Why are we on this treadmill? Why are we lost and wandering looking for these donkeys? Why is life such like a rat race? Why are we working so hard and going nowhere? Why are we striving so much and there's nothing to show for it?" And so what he said was, "Why don't we search out and chase after the instruction of God through his man?" and they changed direction. And rather than running after donkeys, after verse 6, we see a shift now. And now he's going after, searching after the instruction of the Lord, searching after what God has to say through his man Samuel. Now, I did mention last time that there's nothing wrong with running after a few donkeys. Everybody needs a donkey or two to make ends meet. Amen. There's nothing wrong with running after a donkey. But the problem is when the donkey chase takes us out of the will of God, when the donkey chase distracts us from what should be first and foremost in our lives, when that donkey chase pulls us away from pursuing God so that he's not in first place anymore. And the problem for most of us is that we, from time to time, get caught up chasing the donkeys around the mountainside, and we forget about what it is that we really should be pursuing. And so it's almost like they came to their senses in verse 6, and they regrouped themselves, they reprioritized their life, and they said, let's go and search after what God's instructions are in this matter, and maybe he can help us. You don't have to run all the way to God. He will meet us if we will only put him first, if we will only chase after him, if we'll only pursue him with our lives, then he will come and meet us halfway. God will bring people into your life that will help you find what you're looking for if you, as it were, turn and search after him. I think the story of the prodigal son is a good example of this. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, it's probably worth your turning to for a second. In Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, we have this story of the lost son. And I want to just read through and have you take note of some of the actions that this son took. Because when you read this story, you see step by step, if you just watch the verbs in this story and see what it is that this son did and the progression of how things deteriorated in his life. It says, starting at verse 11, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, in verse 13, the younger son, here's the first verb I want you to notice. He gathered all together. I like that. Not that it's a good thing, but it's very descriptive. He gathered all together. He was not thinking about taking some of the resources and distributing to the poor. He was not thinking about taking some of the resources and meeting the needs of those around him. He was not thinking about other people. He was gathering them all to himself. And so the first thing that we notice is that this younger son was only thinking about himself. He gathered all together. And then the second verb there is that he journeyed to a far country. And he left his father, he left his family, he left those that care about him, because he had in his mind that something greater was lying out there, that he was being held back in some way there at his house. And so he left all that to go journey in a far country. And then the third thing that happened, notice what the next verb is, he wasted all his possessions. So he gathered all this stuff to himself. He traveled away from home with it. And the next thing you find out is that it's all gone. It's all wasted. And so he finds himself now in a predicament with his possessions all gone. And the end of verse 14 says he began to be in want. And verse 15, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, I'm not sure what the details of that joining were, or whether he entered into some kind of a bond servant agreement. I'm not sure exactly what that, the Bible doesn't tell us what the details of that joining were. But what we do know is that instead of being joined to his father and his family, he left to be joined to somebody else only to find out that those people that he joined himself to didn't really care about him the way that his family did. Amen. And so there he is now in this faraway country, joined to this other person who had him working, feeding the pigs, feeding the swine. And then in verse 17, I like this, it says, but when he came to himself, somebody needs to underline that in their Bible. When he came to himself. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems like every journey, you know, at some point you have to sit down and come to yourself. I'm a witness. There was a point in my life when I had to sit down and come to myself. And for some reason, some of us take a little longer to come to ourselves. Other people come to themselves a little quicker. But when we are pursuing God, it usually starts at the beginning of a road when we have sat down and realized, you know what? Chasing these donkeys is not working. Running up and down the mountainside is not getting it done. I'm running hard and I'm sweating and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But what is my life really counting for? And it takes a point where you sit down and come to yourself. If there's one thing good about this prodigal son, he came to himself. He sat down and took appraisal of what was going on in his life, and he came to himself. And so I want to suggest that we need to follow that pattern as well. In verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 9, it was almost as though Saul and his servant came to themselves. They got tired of the treadmill of life, the rat race of life. They got tired of the donkey chase, and they came to themselves, and they changed direction. And so this son here in Luke 15 also came to himself. And he says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, oh, I like that, his father saw him and had compassion and what? Waited at the top of the hill. Is that what your verse says? What does it say? He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, what a beautiful picture that if this son, once he came to himself and started the road back to his father, the father ran all the way to meet him and kiss him and show him compassion. Aren't you glad today you don't have to run all the way up to the top of the hill to get to God? Aren't you glad today that it doesn't take a marathon race to reach God? You know, he came to seek and to save those that were lost. And if you seek him, you will find him. Because once you come to yourself and recognize your need for God in your life, he's going to come running down the hill and he's going to grab you on your way up. Amen. I like that. You know, I think there's some of us that are right here today that we need to come to ourselves. And we need to take an appraisal of our lives, and we need to begin that journey to chase after God. And when you chase after God, he's going to respond, and he's going to come to you and meet you on your way. The second thing, though, I want you to notice is not only does verse 14 say there was Samuel because God had provided, but also while Saul chased after the instruction of the Lord, God was there before they arrived. Look at verses 15 and 16. It says, then he went. Oh, I'm still in Luke. Let me get to the right 15 and 16. Chapter 9 of 1 Samuel 15 and 16 says, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people. And so here we find that before Saul even got there, God was there already. And God was there before they arrived. You know, I've often quoted that quote that says, you know, God is into tomorrow before you get there. You hear Christians quoting that? And we say that. It's a nice, you know, little spiritually sounding thing. But how many of us really believe that? That God is into tomorrow before you get there. And if you really understand that, then all the stuff that we're fretting about today, you don't have to fret over that stuff. God's already there. Before Saul and his servant, once they came to themselves and they started heading toward seeking God's instruction, God was already there. He already had the conversation with Samuel. He already laid out the plan. He already told him what the deal was going to be. And so we too, we need to understand that we serve a God who's into tomorrow. He's into next week, and he's working it out even before we get there. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is to know. When you're seeking to know and obey God's will for your life, he's going to go ahead of you and make a way, even where there doesn't seem to be a way. He'll make a way. God will build all the necessary bridges. He will establish all the required contacts. He's going to take down all the prohibiting barriers. He's going to do whatever he needs to do to accomplish his purpose in your life. And guess what? You might not like all of it. Might not always be to your suiting, but he's into tomorrow working it out. It's great to serve a sovereign God. You know, and when that sinks deep into my mind, when I understand that, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Oftentimes, what God does is he gives us our daily bread. He gives us what we need for today. But while we're eating our daily bread today, we're already worrying about how next month's rent is going to be paid. What am I going to eat next week? And we're already fretting and worrying about tomorrow. He provides our daily bread, and he's into tomorrow working that out. You know, I shared at 8 o'clock this morning, you know what the Tony Hart definition of prosperity is, right? Anybody can tell me? Oh, I see Harriet all the way in the back. See, write it down. You all should have had it down in your notebooks by now. Prosperity is when God provides for you everything you need in order to do what he's called you to do. Amen. And when God calls you to a particular task, he's going to provide everything you need to do that task. And so if you're Franklin Graham or Billy Graham or somebody you need hundreds of thousands of dollars every month to do what God's called you to do, guess what? He's going to provide what you need to do what God's called you to do. If all you need is $20 a week to get through, he's going to provide the $20 a week so that you can accomplish what he's called you to do. But prosperity is when God goes ahead of you and works it out so that you experience his provision to do what he's called you to do. And that's what all of us need to have in our lives. God was there before they arrived. I like that. I can't tell you how many times in my life and in my ministry, I had no idea how God was going to supply the need, whether it was for payroll or for personal financial needs in our family or whatever it might be. While I was fretting, so often while I'm fretting, only to find out that later that while I was fretting, the check was already in the mail. Amen. And God meets the needs. And so we need to learn to trust him. We need to go ahead and rely on him. And oftentimes I ended up making matters worse by going ahead and trying to finagle things myself to work it out. My wife can tell you about that. But oftentimes we jump ahead of God. We're trying to work it out ourselves when we need to just trust God that he's a God who's into tomorrow before we get there. So what do we have to worry about? We might as well go home and have dinner. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful God that we serve. So our focus then, if all that is true, is our focus then needs to be on chasing after God. Our focus then needs to be on serving him. Our focus needs to be to follow him. And being a sovereign God, he will work it out. Look at verse 17. Let me show you something else. In verse 17, 1 Samuel chapter 9, says, "So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people.'" While Saul was chasing after the instruction of the Lord, God was opening doors for the call that he had on his life. See, God had a call on Saul's life. He had told Samuel to anoint him as king over Israel. He had a call on his life. And while Saul was chasing after finding out what God's instructions were for him, God was working out and opening doors and making a way for his ministry. And what a wonderful thing that is. It is a wonderful lesson to be learned here. You don't have to knock down doors to find the ministry that God's calling you into. If there's one thing I could tell young ministers, it's that you don't have to politic. You don't have to kick doors down. You don't have to, you know, gossip and backbite and cause division and all kind of stuff to try and make a way and some room for yourself. But the fact of the matter is, if God has given you a gift, God's going to make room for that gift to exercise. God is going to provide and make a way. And so what we need to do then is we need to just trust him. We need to walk in his way. We need to chase after him and find out the instruction for our lives. God didn't give you a gift and then not make room for you to exercise it. And I don't care what that gift is, you know right now what it is or how it's going to be used, you just continue to pursue God in your life. Put him first in your life, and he'll make a way for all that to be exercised. And so we need to do that. He opens doors. He closes doors. He creates opportunity. He turns the heart of the king. And so our job is to chase after him.
We have a new book offer that is a great gift for moms in your life as we approach next month's Mother's Day. It's Time Apart for Mothers. Jesus said, "Come apart and rest a while." With the demands of children, marriage, jobs, managing a home, running errands, taking kids to practices and games and lessons and more. For mothers, that can sound like an impossible dream. No one has ever experienced more intense demands, physically and emotionally, than Jesus did. If the Son of God took time apart to renew his strength and spirit, there can be no question that we need to do that too. These readings of encouragement are taken from writers, past and present, who have faced the trials of life and the journey of faith. Their wisdom and insight give encouragement and help for our journey. Let God use this book as he calls you to take time apart from this busy world to hear his voice. We'll send it to you for a gift of any size to our ministry while supplies last. We'll give you our contact information at the end of today's program. Once again, here's Dr. Hart.
Now, let me make a little broader application here on this, because not only for ministry is this principle good, but it's also good in other common areas in our lives. For example, whether you need a job or not, you don't have to tear somebody else down to step on somebody else's neck to get a job. You don't have to politic and be dishonest and lie on applications and or anything else. You just need to chase after God. Amen. And he'll go ahead. He'll open the doors for you. And he'll provide for you. Amen. You got quiet on that one. But we need to just pursue him. If it's a health situation, a family situation, a need in your house, whatever it might be, if we chase after God, he responds and he'll work it out. And so we need to make sure that we put him first and foremost in our lives. It takes a step of faith, no question about it. It takes a step of faith when you can't see in front of you to walk, even though you don't see, and to see God go to work. There's another thing here I want you to see in this story. And that is that while Saul was waiting to hear the instruction of the Lord, Samuel assured him that God will cover all the other bases. Look at verse 20. This is a good one. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, he goes back to address these donkeys, do not be anxious about them. Is that in your Bible? For they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house? What Samuel is telling Saul here is that you don't have to worry about the donkeys when you're chasing after God. What Saul found out was that God had the donkeys covered. He had it all taken care of. His job was not to worry about the donkeys. His job was to pursue God and to chase after him. Boy, if we could just infuse that message into each one of our veins and heads and hearts, that our job is not to worry about the money. Our job is not to worry about the issues around us. Our job is not to worry about how God's going to make a way. That's his business. Our job is to pursue God, to chase after him. Like the praise in motion just said, oh, to know him. To talk to him, to have him talk to us, to pursue God in that way. And when we do that, when that is the priority of our lives, to pursue after God and to get to know him in that way, guess what? All the donkeys are going to be corralled. At least all the ones you need to do what God's calling you to do. He'll corral them for you and he'll bring them into the barn. And you don't have to run up and down the mountainside looking for the donkeys. And so all I'm saying is we need to seek the instruction of the Lord. We need to chase after him, to get to know him, to talk to him, to pursue him with all that we are and all that we have.
We trust that you have been blessed and encouraged by today's program, and we thank you for listening. Your partnership with this ministry to help us with our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel is greatly needed. Please visit our website today and let us know that you will stand with us. Remember to ask for the thank you gift as you make your donation, and let us know how we can pray for you. You can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our office phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King reminding you that God loves you today and every day.